Hey, Dr. Borton.
Hey, Megan, how are you? It's been a while.
It's been a while, but you were flying over some continents.
Well, not whole continents exactly, but I had a trip to Greece because my wife's grade school friends hadn't seen each other for 60 years, and they had a reunion in Greece. So that was a good excuse to go visit a place that's got a huge amount of history.
Did you see things from the Bronze Age when you were there?
Stone Age stuff and Bronze Age stuff and everything after that. It's really quite impressive.
I know you're a physics person, but are you one of those people who you really have all of those ages down in your mind? Like, you know, the difference in time between, like, the order of the Stone Age, Bronze Age, the Megalithic period, the Neolithic period?
No, I don't have those dates in my head, but I have the technology sort of in my head because a lot of Greece was made with stones. Doing construction with stones is really quite impressive. If you think about construction these days, we have materials that are very uniform, man-made materials. But if you have a stone that wasn't man-made, but men can figure out the strength of those materials approximately, and like make a lintel over a door, and how do you know how strong to make it? Well, now we have easy ways to measure that kind of thing, a steel and wood. Back then they didn't, and so it was trial and error and experience that was learned over generations and handed down from person to person, that if you're going to make a 6-foot lintel across a door, you need to have a stone that's this kind and this thick, or if it's this other kind of stone, it needs to be thicker or thinner. So that's a lot of knowledge that was generated before science really was around to do that.
Passed down through word of mouth.
Yeah, and experience. If you have a rock and you're pounding another rock, and your kids come along and they pound rocks, and the kids see that you made something useful and they need the same thing, they're going to decide fairly quickly that, you know, I'd better learn how to do this if I want a house of my own.
Did your kids watch you when you've been making solar boats? Were you examined closely where people were like, okay, that's how you cold bend this, that's where you put the solar panels?
Yes, but not just making boats, cutting down trees, making firewood, building things out of lumber. All of those things require some knowledge of how materials operate under forces, gravitational forces being the main ones to play.
Have you ever done any smithing, metalwork?
I've done a little bit, and actually I'm going to do some more. I'm going to start making bronze. We'll realize that bronze was stronger than wooden spears and wooden swords, and that gave the technological advantage to armies that used bronze. And bronze is beautiful stuff, and bronze is very good in boats because it is not corroding the way other things corrode.
What do you think you're going to make out of bronze?
Eventually, I think I'd like to make some boat components, oarlocks, cleats, that kind of thing. But the first things I'll probably make would be very simple plaques that are cast into a simple mold.
Cool. How come that's the first thing?
Because it sounds like the easiest thing.
You can make a plaque pretty easily.
Well, yeah, you just have to make a depression. You know, you could use any depression in any rock and pour bronze, liquid bronze into it, but that's not very artistic. If you now carve something and maybe you make it in clay and you fire it and then you pour the bronze into that clay, or you make a sand mold and pour the bronze into that, then you've made something.
What are the dates of the Bronze Age? Do you know?
No, I don't have that in my head.
It was a while ago.
It was a while ago. People occasionally found copper. And copper occasionally appears in its native form, meaning elemental copper. Now, elemental copper is fairly soft, and so you can't really make a good sword out of copper. But you can alloy it with tin, and the alloy makes bronze, and that's a stronger material. And then, you know, you've really got some strength in your materials. So that makes a better sword.
I'm looking around this room to see if I have anything that's bronze. I sometimes forget what bronze is. Like copper, I can recall immediately. And I know copper has naturally antibiotic properties to it. But bronze, I know a bit less about. I guess I think of it as being part of old warfare because it is a heavy, it's a strong metal.
Okay, well, what about brass? What do you know about brass? Brass is copper with zinc.
Oh, okay.
Okay, and bronze is a little stronger. It's copper with tin and a little more durable. But all of those alloys are better than copper alone.
No, it's interesting. I've been thinking about metalwork because I have ancestors that were all blacksmiths and thinking about how plastics came along and replaced the need for metalwork around the middle 20th century, you know, especially in the 70s and the 80s. It was just like everybody wanted plastic siding on their homes. You know, it was just seen as the more economically friendly and trendy and durable thing. So it's just interesting to me, this whole idea of metalwork and bending metal. Like, do you have the tools to actually, you know, work with the metal and heat it?
What, one of the things I wanted was a broad axe. Do you know what a broad axe is?
No, but it sounds cool.
It's cool. Regular axe is symmetrical, and so it's good for chopping wood or splitting wood. But if you want to hewing wood, you want to cut the side off the wood. So it's better to have an asymmetrical axe head. And so I've actually made those. I heated the steel on the electric burner in the kitchen, and then I took it outside and put it on a stump and pounded on it with a hammer and shaped a broad axe.
Was it good for hewing?
Yes, it was. It still is. I still have it.
So could it be possible to ever have an all-bronze solar boat?
Oh, yeah, but a metal boat, well, boats are made of steel now. A bronze boat would be fairly expensive.
Fairly glorious, right?
Yeah, okay. Well, that's not an idea I had thought of. It would be easier to use copper sheet, which is a little more ductile, a little weaker, but still strong enough. So you could make a copper boat probably easier than you could make a bronze boat.
Yeah, you'd have to work with the conduction in different ways on a bronze boat.
Well, a little bit, yes. But have you ever been in your car in the summertime with the windows closed?
Yeah.
Yeah, that gets pretty hot. Steamy. So a bronze boat's not going to get significantly hotter than that. So that's not a problem.
What do you think, in terms of discovering how to use bronze, how do you think that happened for ancient peoples? Was it just trial and error?
If you find some native copper and you're playing around with native copper and you make nice things with it, but you find it's not so ductile, I mean, it's too ductile for some things. And then you find that, well, hey, here's some of this other stuff called, we now call tin. And if you heat them together, you get something that's stronger than the copper. You know, people are pretty smart to figure things out like that. Even call it proto-science. It's a scientific approach to things without the modern quantification that we have of science.
Oh, yeah. And I totally respect that. You know, I think that that's the beauty of anthropology, is going back and really looking at that.
Yeah, well, that takes us back to the rocks, you know. How do you figure out how strong a rock is for a given use? Well, you do some experiments and you learn, and the same thing happened with bronze. And then iron came along, and that another strong material, stronger material. Steel is useful for many more things than just plain iron, and that's an alloy. So people figure these things out.
Well, we're going to be looking at your solar boats at the Waterford Boat Festival now and saying, where's the bronze? Where are the plaques? Where are the bronze boat oars? The listenership is going to hold your feet to the fire about this.
Well, it does take pretty hot fire to melt bronze. So that's a good analogy. You know, you can't do everything. You haven't taught me how. what do I do first? Do I cut up rock? Do I make bronze? Do I make another boat? You know, there's too many things on the to-do list.
So, Walt, do you have any final comments on my order for an opal and amethyst and bronze solar boat?
Well, I think you'd have to get in line. I think there are some things that'll come before that.
Wow. So wait till you see it coming down the Hudson.
Okay.
Well, thanks, Dr. Borton.
Well, Megan, it's always fun. This was a little different.